The Opinion Line on Cork's 96 FM.
Here's a bizarre story of a man called John Joseph Alfred Richards. A man who abandoned his family, not once, but twice. The second time, 49 years ago, in 1974. And he was never seen after that. He had originally left for 20 years, and then came back and was welcomed back into the bosom of his family, and went about his daily work. No one ever knew what he'd been doing in the UK. Working, we assumed, but he then left again in 1974 or so. A documentary is being made involving the family, but Ralph Regal of the Irish Independent is across the story. It's bizarre to disappear, Ralph, not just once, but twice. Good morning.
Good morning, PJ. It is, and, you know, I suppose that the human element of the story is that John Richards' son, John Jr., and his wife, Nell, they're lovely people. I mean, really, salt of the earth. You won't come across nicer people. And really, you know, John Jr. has lived since 1974, wondering what actually happened to his father. And it wasn't just that he abandoned the family in 1974 for the second time, but all ties were cut. There was never again any contact with Sheila, his wife, or his children in Fermoy. There was no contact when his wife died, and no contact over the years. And I suppose what was remarkable was I did the story back in February. And so often with these things, as you know yourself, you'll do a story and, you know, there's a bit of interest in it, but it doesn't go anywhere. It just doesn't get the kind of the break or the twist that you'd hope for. But what happened in this particular case was I had done the story and RT Radio 1 were interested in it. So they decided to throw a bit of investment at it, and they hired a genealogist. And the genealogist, sure enough, believes that they have traced the family in England. Now, it was John Jr. always believed that his father had a second family, that what had happened was he had married, he had been in the army. He had left the army in 1948 after marrying John Jr.'s mother, Sheila. And he went to the UK to work in 1952, as happened with many, many families across Cork back in the 50s, which is a pretty tough time. The difference with John Sr. was he went to the UK in 1952 and never came back, and contact with the family gradually ceased.
Yeah, he never sent money or anything back, did he, no?
Well, he did for a while, but certainly the indications are that stopped as well after a period of time. And I suppose the really poignant element of this story is the fact that Sheila was a truly remarkable woman. I mean, really, John Jr. has sang the praises of his mother, and it's easy to understand why, because this woman, in a very, very tough time economically in Ireland, she raised a fine family. She worked two, sometimes three jobs to make ends meet, to have food on the table, with in the end, no support and no information about what was happening with her husband in the UK. And it was 20 years. It was basically from 1952 to 1973 that, lo and behold, a letter arrived from the UK that John Sr. wanted to know would it be okay if he came back to the family home.
Now, and I note that that was around the time that his son, Ralph, John Jr., was getting married to his wife, Nell.
Correct.
And now, is there any way, do we know, did his father know about that, or was it purely coincidental that he wrote to them at the time?
Yeah, no, again, that's another very interesting point, PJ, in that the family believe that there was someone in Fermoy, maybe an old buddy or whatever like that of John Sr., who was keeping him in the loop about what was happening with the family in Ireland, which in hindsight was particularly cruel, because the family didn't know what was happening to him, but someone locally was clearly keeping John Sr. in the UK abreast of developments with his Irish family, though they knew nothing about him. But he obviously must have known, because this letter arrived in 73. John Jr. was getting married to Nell, his wife, and the father asked, could he come home? The family said, the sons kind of had a chat about it and said, look, we're adults, we're leaving home, we're setting up our own families. And they thought that their mother would be happy to have the husband home. And true enough, when he came home, John Jr. has said to me back in February, like, his mother, she was smiling, she seemed happier. There seemed a burden of worry off her shoulders. the family unit seemed to be kind of coalescing again, and it seemed as if everything was going to be okay. And he was home for about a year. Now, he was a very talented tradesman. Mm-hmm. He had no shortage of work. But John said he had a job in the city at the time, and he was on a bus coming down through Fermoy Town in 1974. I think it was around December, he said. And he looked, and he saw his father walking up the town in Fermoy with a suitcase on his shoulder. And that was the last he ever saw him. The father just went back to the UK and vanished. Now, what we also know is that John's brother had a letter had arrived for the father from the UK, and John's brother had surreptitiously opened the letter, and it was from a woman in the UK. There was no return address on the letter, but it was from a woman in the UK warning John Sr. that if he didn't come back to the UK, this lady was going to send his daughter to Ireland to her father. So it was clear there was a second family in the UK. Oh. But the letter was sealed up, and within a couple of weeks, the father had vanished. And from 1974 onwards, nothing was ever heard of the father. All major family events, even the death of Sheila from cancer many years later, there was no contact from the UK. And, you know,
so clearly the buddy, if there was one in Fermoy, either broke off contact or died.
Possibly, but I think that unfortunately the belief is that he still must have been in the loop in terms of developments with the family in Fermoy. That's possible, but my own personal belief is that I think there was a flow of information up until relatively recent years. But the remarkable thing is that the genealogist hired by the documentary team in RT Radio 1, they believe that they've found the second family. Now, no formal approach has been made as yet, because they're taking things very carefully. But certainly all the documentation, birth certs, death certificates, whatever like that, they believe they have identified the family. And it transpires that John Sr. died in 2009. So he lived until he was 87. He was born in 1922, and he lived up until relatively recently, and yet made no attempt to contact his family, his sons, grandchildren, or anything like that.
1974, 2009. That's 35 years.
Yes, correct. With no contact whatsoever. Now, certainly what we do believe at the moment, again, the documentary team, the genealogists are being very careful, because that ultimately what they've said is that DNA evidence, DNA testing is the only thing that can absolutely confirm the relationships. But certainly all of the birth records, the death records, the timing, everything, certainly, they're all the ducks in a row. Wow. In terms of that. But there are John is believed to have a number of half-siblings in the UK. And, you know, again...
And how does he feel? Sorry, I know you're in contact with him, Ralph. How does he feel about the prospect that there are siblings there? Well, there was almost certainly one, if you're to believe the letter, but that there may be others. How does he feel about his father now and about these siblings he may have in the UK?
Yeah, well, when I spoke to him, when we did the original interview back in February, he made the point that he could forgive his father for abandoning his family the first time. He could never forgive him for abandoning the family the second time. But that has no bearing on his half-siblings in the UK. And I very much got the impression from John and from Nell, his wife, that really they wanted two things. They wanted to know what had happened to John Sr., what was his fate, what eventually happened with his life. And the second thing was to have some type of offer of connection with the half-siblings, because ultimately they are half-brothers, half-sisters, whatever. And I think the family here in Ireland are very open to meeting them, to having a chat, to swapping shared stories or things like that. So hopefully that is what will happen, and that we'll get a better picture, and maybe a few of the missing pieces of the jigsaw will be filled in.
It's a fascinating story, Ralph, and I sense there are more chapters in it. Are you already writing a book, you divil?
Well, we're watching this space, PJ.
Ralph Regal, thank you very much, Ralph, of the Irish Independent and author of many books. So it wouldn't surprise me if he was working on another one. That's a fascinating story. We'll have to watch that documentary, see when it comes out, and hopefully someday we will get a chance to talk with John Richards about this. That is the most incredible story.
Cork's 96 FM.